From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Today, we are podcasting from the site of the 68th Annual National Convention of the National Association of Postal Supervisors here in New Orleans, Louisiana. The pre-convention preparations are complete, and everything is teed up for a highly successful and well-attended convention. With me today is NAPS President Ivan Butts, who in a few days will gavel the convention to order. Welcome to NAPS Chat, Ivan.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you.
Ivan, this will be the first national convention during which you will preside. Any nerves?
Yeah, for me, Bob, you know, I think I'm nervous before any event that I'm presiding over, whether it's the 7 years of successful LTSs that we put on at NAPS headquarters, or when I was the Eastern Region Vice President during the Eastern Region Cabinet meeting, carrying on that tradition started by Dottie Wallman. You're always nervous because I always want to present a program that's beneficial and memorable and also enjoyable for our membership. So I tend to get a little meticulous and definitely get a little nervous as the time approaches, but I'm looking forward to it.
I know, because in the office you were looking for the last month or 2 months, looking at your computer screen, perfecting the agenda about orders, about who you'd like to speak, about when. So that's a very meticulous type of preparation that you undertake.
Yes, it is. And it's very fortunate that I have a great team at NAPS headquarters, and not just the fellow resident officers, but also the staff, you included, Bob, have done a tremendous job to get us to this point as we now are here on site of preparing to receive our delegates.
Now, as the convention is imminently going to start, I won't ask you about any surprises, because if you told me about the surprises, they wouldn't be a surprise to those in attendance. But are there any special plans for which NAPS members should be aware?
Well, no special plans. We're just planning for an informative and energetic convention, an engaging convention. We're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to doing some presentations that will honor the longevity of not just our association, but our leadership, the leadership that we have in this association. So tremendous moments of acknowledgement that we're going to have during this convention. Also, when we have some speakers coming in, very dynamic speakers, with Greg Gray from Renaissance International. He'll be coming to speak to us on Tuesday. For those of you out there who were at the 2014 convention, Greg Gray spoke at that convention, and he spoke at one of my Eastern Region Cabinet meetings, a very dynamic speaker and motivational speaker. And we also have Charles Marshall coming in, and I'm very much looking forward to him coming in and presenting to us on Thursday. Also a very dynamic motivational speaker. So two really great speakers coming in to help us as we continue to grow in this new era of NAPS leadership.
One of the speakers coming in also will be the local congressman for the New Orleans area, Congressman Troy Carter. Can you talk a little bit about him? He's the new guy on the block almost.
Yeah. Congressman Carter, we had the privilege of meeting with him and getting to know him when he was running to fill the seat that was vacated by Cedric Richmond, who went on to work on the President Biden's staff. So we met with the state senator Carter, and very good, very, very strong leader, very vocal down here in this New Orleans area. This is his hometown. And we reached out to him to ask him if he wanted to give us some congressional remarks. And he cheerfully agreed to come. So very much looking forward to seeing the congressman again.
Just to anticipate what he's going to talk about, he was a state senator at the time that Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and South Louisiana, and I believe he's going to speak a bit about the importance the Postal Service was in the recovery of the city of New Orleans in the wake of that hurricane.
Yeah, yeah. He was vocal about that, even on his on his campaign, you know, of his leadership that he provided to New Orleans, the city of New Orleans, during that terrible time of Katrina. So, like I said, he's very, very good congressman, very good representative, and we're honored to have him.
One of the other speakers on the agenda is the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy. What do you expect the Postmaster General to talk about at the convention?
Well, you know, you never really can know what our PMG is going to talk about, but we kind of have an idea. We're looking at some of the things we've been looking at coming down the pipe in conjunction with his 10-year plan, rolling that out. So now I'm sure he'll probably talk about the mega centers that are being created around the country and what that's going to entail and what he envisions it doing for the Postal Service. And how the future of the Postal Service looks now under his leadership versus under past leaderships, which is definitely something we've been hearing a lot about. So, you know, the one thing I've said for years, the only thing that's consistent is change. So we're seeing change. You know, we still have to gauge whether it's good change or bad change, and we're evaluating that on every point that comes up, every initiative that the Postal Service puts out. So I'm sure he's going to be very engaging. He's a very engaging PMG. He's very articulate in expressing his views, his points, and what his initiatives are. So we had a tremendous moment with him at our last national convention speaking to the group and exchanging with the group, and I anticipate the same here.
One of the issues that he's spoken about, or actually President Biden spoke about when we were at the bill signing ceremony back in April, was the efforts by the administration to encourage the Postal Service to increase the use of zero emission vehicles. And as we went through this bill that is currently pending in the Senate, the Inflation Reduction Act, that Senator Manchin and Schumer were negotiating over, there is a small provision, if you go very carefully into the bill, of $3 billion for the Postal Service for the purchase and the support of zero-emission vehicles. Do you think the Postmaster General is going to talk about the additional $3 billion infusion into the Postal Service to purchase those types of vehicles?
I would anticipate if he did talk about it, he would talk about it in the vein of how much of a shortfall that is to the actual cost for us to transfer over to an EV fleet. And that was one of the things we spoke about, talking about electronic vehicles while we were at the Postal Forum. How the it's not just the purchase of the vehicles, it's the building of the infrastructure to support those vehicles on the road and maintaining them. So, you know, it the $3 billion, I think he would probably say is a drop in the bucket to what the Postal Service needs to get in order to create this electronic vehicle fleet that's envisioned by the government.
Though he is increasing the percentage of vehicles that he expects to onboard in that process, it started at 10%, then it went up to 20%. Now, I think we were talking about this. It's up to either 40 or 50% upon who you ask.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? The vehicle or onboarding issue is still relevant, whether it's gas vehicles or electric vehicles. You know, that's one thing we all understand is that our fleet is woefully aged out, and it needs to be replaced. It's a relic. We're cannibalizing vehicles just to try to keep them going. You know, we're having these vehicles just catching on fire. I mean, so this fleet has to be replaced. And I guess really the argument is how do we replace it? What's feasible for replacing it if we move to electronic vehicle fleet, or more importantly, how do we start replacing these vehicles to get safer vehicles on our road and make sure our employees are safe while driving them?
Yeah, in fact, our chairman of our Postmasters Committee, Jimmy Solomon, just testified a couple of weeks ago before a Senate committee on that very issue, particularly as it affects postal employees in the state of Arizona about the necessity of deploying the new vehicles, because none of the vehicles right now are climate controlled. I mean, we have the luxury, the necessity of air conditioning. A lot of our employees don't have that luxury.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, this is a point that we really, the Management Association of the Postal Service, that's something we really kind of start reaching out and speaking out against last year when we had these extreme temperatures about these areas, such as Arizona and then the Floridas. I mean, we have areas of the country where the excessive heat is really brutalized. I think we've seen, you know, you might have seen the YouTube video where the carrier was actually cooking a steak on his dashboard because of the heat. And these vehicles had no air conditioning at all. So we recognize that's a health hazard that needs to be addressed. So, you know, we've been vocal about it, and we really need to, as an agency, we need to move forward to correct this and get rid of these vehicles and replace that fleet.
Let's move back a little bit to the convention for a moment. How many participants do you expect to be here in New Orleans for the convention?
Well, I think our last number, looking at total registrants, we were at close to 1,300, I think around 1,280. We have had some cancellations, due to illnesses. Some members haven't had to cancel for various reasons. So we're still looking for a tremendous number of delegates and guests to turn out. We have a tremendous number of vendors that are signed on to be here to support our convention. We have a dynamic speakers, so we're really kind of gearing up for a big thing down here in New Orleans, wrapping it up with a great Friday second line presentation to end our convention. Just really kind of looking forward to the whole week of activities, not to mention, you know, after convention hours, they'll be able to go down and enjoy all the sights, sound, and taste of New Orleans.
I can attest to the magnitude of the participation because Jimmy Warden, our Secretary Treasurer, and I were down there in the room stuffing bags, and the number of bags that need to get stuffed are rather significant.
Yeah. Our host team, hosted by Tamika Duplessis, host branch president, they've done a tremendous job preparing for this convention. They have seen to every detail. From the first time I met with them, you might have read in my article, I talked about this. I was so impressed with her and her leadership and her delegation of authority to really have everyone doing their pieces. Then I think now she's at the point of bringing all those pieces together to help us put on a tremendous opening ceremony and to support our tremendous 68th biannual convention.
As we said, we're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,300 participants in this convention. Clearly, a lot of NAPS members, for whatever reason, are not able to come to New Orleans to participate in the convention. How can they keep abreast of the deliberations at the convention?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Bob. We've got a few things that we're going on that we're going to support that with. Karina May from Smith Haroff, who is our social media company that's been helping us over the years build our social media presence. They'll be down here, and Karina's going to be shooting what we call a sizzle video. And that'll be showing you some of the sights and sounds of what's going on at the convention. And as soon as that's edited and developed, we'll have that posted up on the website for viewing. Greg Bates, who runs our AV for our convention, he'll be on scene. And he'll actually be recording the entire convention proceedings. So, and once those videos are available, they'll be up online too. And now you can always go to our app. We have a mobile app that's up and running. I think that's going to have convention information on it. And again, Karina will be sharing on social media throughout the week of the convention, sharing what's going on up here.
Yeah, and I in fact downloaded the app already, so I'm going to be able to monitor what's going on even while I'm here. As well, folks who participate in the convention can monitor not only on what they experience in person, but they can reflect on what's being posted on the internet or through social media. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question, Ivan. You've been to a number of conventions now. I would assume that the most memorable experience you've had was when you were elected president almost a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago. But I'm going to say reflect on your long career with the Postal Service and as a NAPS member. Could you tell us about some memorable convention experiences that you have had?
Wow, it's been so many, Bob, over these many years. It would be hard for me to pick one. It's really kind of multiple. I really have to say 1992 was my first convention I ever attended as a NAPS delegate, and that was a tremendous and most memorable time for me. I got to meet Junebug Wardell the first day, and she welcomed me, and I remember how warm and welcoming she was. And when she found out I was a first-timer, she kind of embraced me and kind of took us, and not just me, but the other first-timers with me, took us kind of under her wing to kind of show us how, to move about the convention, how to network around the convention. So that was always tremendous. And of course, there were 2008, when I first got elected as Eastern Region Vice President to the board, which really was kind of the jump-off point for me, really that lifted me up and kind of gave me a platform to show my leadership and work for membership and show that that's really true in my desire is just to work for the membership and work for our association. And that really led to 2014, which was, and I would have to probably say is the most memorable, when I was blessed enough to be elected executive vice president of our association. Last year in Texas was special. Don't get me wrong, it was special, but I was really felt blessed in 2014 to have that opportunity to serve. And 2020 convention in Grapevine, Texas, helped me to kind of really expand that to the highest level, our association, to serve for our members.
If you would give a recommendation to a participant in the 2022 convention, how to make this a memorable experience, what would you recommend they do?
Network, right? Get around. Go around. You know, we'll have, I think we have around close to 200 first-timers coming to this convention, which is a tremendous number. So my advice to you is get out and meet people, meet other people. That's the greatest thing I always say about our association. We represent over 500 different job titles within the post office. We represent a gambit of all types of knowledge levels within the postmaster and within the post office, not just postmasters, not just supervisors, not just managers. It's all of them. It's everything. So really kind of get out and network with people, meet new people, meet friends, and take in the whole experience of our national convention. You will find it not only rewarding to you career-wise, you'll find it rewarding to you from the social standpoint of it also.
Ivan, I want to thank you for taking some time out before the convention and joining with us here on NAPS Chat.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
And I also want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe.